Blog Talk Radio.
Broadcasting from Atlanta, Georgia, this is The Bright Side with Technisha.
A daily broadcast on real life issues that will keep you motivated.
And now, here's your host, Technisha.
Good afternoon, everyone. Today is May 9th, 2014, and you're tuning into another episode of The Bright Side with Technisha. Now, I know a lot of people are wondering about their sexual life and has your love life lost its spark? Is there a lack of intimacy or satisfying sex in your relationship? Well, here today with me is Dr. Maureen Ryan, who is a nurse practitioner, a sex therapist, and wellness coach specializing in sexual health coaching. She holds a doctorate in nursing practice and is dual licensed as both an adult health nurse practitioner and a women's health nurse practitioner. So if you have any questions today or just curious about anything, please do call in at 347-426-3751. So how are you doing, Dr. Maureen Ryan? Dr. Maureen?
Yes, yes, I hear you now.
Okay, all right, we got on. So how are you today?
I'm great. And you?
I'm doing good. Glad that the weather is not too bad. We're getting a little showers today and tomorrow, but in advance to all my mothers out there or expecting mothers, happy Mother's Day to you, and I hope you have a blissful Sunday when it comes. Enjoy your day. This is our day to relax and live it up. So, Dr. Maureen, you know, a lot of people have wondering questions about their sex and their relationships, wondering what makes it healthy. So before we start with that, give a little bit more detail about your background, how you got into this.
Okay. I'm a nurse practitioner. I've been a nurse practitioner for over 20 years. And for a long time, I worked in a women's health clinic. And what I found was that we weren't talking about sex. We weren't addressing it. We were addressing all the other needs of women across the lifespan. But sex is something we weren't talking about, and it's something that is so important and affects every aspect of people's lives. And so I saw it everywhere. I saw people shutting themselves down sexually, not just in my workplace, but it seems like every place I looked. And I thought, that's wrong. You know, it shouldn't be like this. You know, people shut down their sexuality, or they, you know, really diminish it. They also shut down their passion for life. And, so I thought, you know, this isn't being addressed to the degree it should be, so that's the area I'm going into. And so that's how I ended up becoming a sex therapist. And then oftentimes, you know, in sex therapy, we look at things as dysfunctional. And I really didn't like that negative frame, so I decided to become a health and wellness coach. And that way, what I do is really turn it into something positive. I help people come to see me because they have sexual or intimacy concerns. And so what I do is I help them identify what it is that they want in their relationship, and oftentimes they haven't even thought about that, and then why they want it, you know, to really build up the motivation, you know, the emotional closeness, bonding, love, affection, whatever that is, because that's going to help move them forward. And then what would have been called the dysfunction, I think of it as a barrier. And, they come up with solutions that will work for them. So it's much more positive, and the results are much better because they find their own intrinsic reasons for moving forward.
Right. Now, what is actually meant by healthy sexual relationship?
A healthy sexual relationship is when both partners' needs are met. And that looks very different for every couple or every individual. So, you know, human sexuality or need to be close and bond with another, it's one of our basic human needs. And when that's not met, behavior, you start to see people take on maladaptive behaviors. So if they're not having that connection, that sexual connection, that closeness, that feeling of love with their partner, or they'll try and fill up, I think of it as like a hole in their heart. They'll try and fill it up in other ways, sometimes overeating or drinking or shopping or things that really don't serve them. So healthy sexuality is the ability to be able to express themselves in a way that is satisfactory for them and their partner.
Right. And you've got to have that in order to communicate and keep the spice going to me. And I think a lot of people do. They lose that marine went after, you know, sometimes you lose after you get married. I don't know why.
Right. Well, we can talk about why. There is research that shows why. And what happens is when you fall in love, you go through different stages. There's like this lust romance stage, and then you move on to like committed love. And different neurochemical transmitters and hormones are released in the brain in different love states. So at the beginning, that lust, you know, that skin hunger, that desire, that want, you have a lot of dopamine released in the brain, a lot of norepinephrine, and it makes you feel really excited, positive, focused, you know, reward-seeking, you know. Those are the feel-good hormones. And then as the relationship moves on, and research shows that typically that romantic stage lasts up, you know, a couple months to up to 2 years, typically. And then what happens is you move more into a committed love. And when that happens, there's a different neural hormone that's released in the brain, and that's oxytocin. Oxytocin, it's released all along, but the dopamine and the norepinephrine, those hormones start to decrease. Because in reality, you're so focused on your partner, and you're thinking about them all the time, your energy is all going there. It kind of takes away other energy from other aspects of your life. So I think that's part of the reason why we don't stay there. But so then when you move into that committed love, oxytocin is released. And oxytocin is known as the bonding or cuddle hormone. And when a woman breastfeeds her baby, oxytocin is released, and that causes that maternal-infant bond. And it's also released in periods of intimacy, psychological, emotional, physical intimacy, and there's a surge of it that's released during orgasm. So that's what causes people to bond with their partner and keeps them together through the tough times in life. So sex is really important. Sex, that's oxytocin, it's a love hormone. And so people say, you know, making love. It actually, you do make love when you make love. It changes brain chemistry. Very powerful.
Right. It is. And in a study that I was looking at online, they said considerably proportions of women reported experiencing lack of interest in sex and lack of sexual enjoyment. And these were around like 54.8% and 27.3%. And they said 35.9% feeling self-conscious of their body while having sex.
Right, right. And so what happens is as time goes on in relationships, become challenging, and things happen, and resentment builds up, and oftentimes children come in, and there's life gets tough sometimes. There's people are tired, they're stressed, there's a lot of demands on them, and so focus can cause us sexual. If desire that occurred at the beginning, goes away for many, many women and men in long-term relationships. So they think something's wrong with them because they're not thinking about sex. They don't have that spontaneous desire. And then they start questioning what's going on with my relationship. But what happens is, yes, Masters and Johnson did research back in the 60s, and they studied the human sexual response cycle, and they identified different phases. And one is desire, arousal, orgasm, and resolution. And so we were looking at that as what is normal. And women, especially men and, but especially women, were not identifying with that. They were not reporting. They don't report spontaneous desire. But what they do report, or what they do experience, is more of a receptive desire. So this is why it's so important to really make, to put sex on the calendar. People think that's not really romantic and sex should be spontaneous. But, you know, there's really nothing. There's not a lot that we do that's spontaneous in life. We seem to plan everything. We know, you know, when we're going to work, when we're going to see friends, when we're at the grocery store. We plan everything. And so to think that sex is just going to magically appear, it doesn't happen. And that's, and then weeks can go by, can turn into months, and it's not a good thing. So by just making the intention that there is going to be time for intimacy in your relationship and really showing up for it can make a big difference. And so, you know, women, again, they don't often have that spontaneous desire. But what happens is a lot of women just enter a sexual experience feeling neutral. They're like, meh, you know, they could, you know.
Yeah.
They'll go along with it. And what happens then is that with some, you know, stimulation or touch or whatever's happening sexually, then they start to get aroused. So it's, that is a receptive desire, and that's what more women identify with. And then if the experience is good, they get are aroused and orgasm. Then it's emotionally fulfilling and physically. So they get a lot of benefits from it. They, you know, feel, a lot of them get, women feel that emotional closeness and bonding and commitment and affection and acceptance and all of those things. So many people have sex for non-sexual reasons.
Right.
And that meaning, you know, they want to experience the closeness. They want to feel it helps you tolerate your partner. They don't, the socks don't annoy you as much on the floor. So.
I, no, I'm left because I'll be thinking about certain things like this when women talk to me. Oh, well, I have one friend. She, you have to be at a certain build for her. That really turns her on when she sees a guy built in that certain walk, and that, that makes her, I guess that makes her relationship better.
I didn't catch what you said. What turns her on?
I was saying that I have a friend, she likes her guys to be buff at a certain status. They have to have this certain look about themselves, and I think that's what actually turns her on sexually, the look, just to
yeah,
know that you're sexy.
Right, right. And, you know, people have all different turn-ons, and it's all individual. But, yes, physical attraction is very important in sexual intimacy. Yeah. But, you know, that emotional connection is just as important, because in order to really let go sexually, you have to trust your partner. You have to be willing to be vulnerable. And those things are what, it's the foundation of emotional intimacy, and it's essential for many women in order to really open up sexually, their hearts, their minds, their bodies.
Right. Now, what we're going to do, we're going to end up taking a commercial break, and we're going to come back with Dr. Maureen Ryan. And like I said, if you have any questions, do not be afraid to chat or call in, because this could really actually help you today and spice up your relationship. So stay tuned. Don't touch that dial.
There's only one station that will keep you happy. Blog Talk Radio. We're taking more of your calls at 347-426-3751. Stay tuned. We'll be back after this commercial break.
Dave, what are you doing?
Just sending a gift to Dave 2037.
Who?
Me in the future. I save a little money from every paycheck for Dave 2037 so he can buy anti-gravity boots or a hologram Doberman. What are you getting Steve 2037?
Steve 2037 will be just fine.
Well, okay, but don't expect to borrow my anti-gravity boots.
Save something for the future. Put away a few bucks. Feel like a million bucks. For free ways to save, go to feedthepig.org. That's feedthepig.org.
This message brought to you by the American Institute of Certified Public Accountants and the Ad Council.
Me, a cat, moving in with a new human. It took a little getting used to. She has these weird games she likes to play, like this giant feather. She sticks it in my face. I swat it away. She sticks it in my face. I swat it away. It's almost like she thinks I enjoy it. But seeing how much fun she gets out of it, well, I guess it makes it all worth it. Humans.
A person is the best thing to happen to a shelter pet. Be that person. Adopt. Brought to you by the Ad Council and the ShelterPetProject.org.
All right, we're back. Do call in again at 347-426-3751, and we're on with Dr. Maureen Ryan, and we're talking about having a healthy sexual relationship, the things that really turn us on, and maybe some things that doesn't turn you on. Now, the question is, Maureen, are you ever too old to make love?
No. People are having sex and intimacy, satisfying intimacy into their 80s, and it changes over time. You know, the body's not going to respond as it did when they were younger, but people find ways to adapt and to have their needs met and to stay connected. So, yes, many people are sexually active into their 80s.
That's a good long time to be at that age to still have that ability to do that. Because, you know, all the messages that they have out, you got Viagra and Cialis out for the man, but some have told me personally that they don't have to use that. And I have known them to be in their 70s. They don't use all those different medications.
Right. But, you know, often people just think about sex and they think about intercourse, and it's so much more than that. There's so much more to experience, and I think that as people get older and they've been in a relationship for a long time, and there's a lot of trust, they find ways to adapt that are still pleasurable, and sometimes much more pleasurable than just intercourse. So people are resourceful.
They are, but I think that's the way that we were taught, most people. We think that that's all that sex is, the jump in and out, and it's not. I had one guy on my show, Maureen. His name was Michael Russell, and he had prostate cancer. Then he ended up getting erectile dysfunction. So his thing was that he could make love better than a normal man, and I was like, wow, I wonder. My mind was curious about this conversation with him. And I understood what he was saying because, see, now you got to have the ability to turn this woman on when you don't have all that. So what other ways can you make love to her? Run her bath water, listen to her, maybe fix a meal for her. And I do understand what you're saying, Maureen. It's more than just actually opening your legs and actually penetrating. So it's more than that.
I think people lose out when they just consider, when they just focus on that. They've like totally lost the beauty that is possible. But
what is the actual person going to do when all that thrill is gone? Like the song said, thrill is gone. What are you going to actually do? You going to look at each other and be bored?
Well, I think that just expanding the possibilities can make things exciting. I mean, why is it that sex stays interesting and passionate and alive for some couples? And one of the reasons is because of novelty. They're willing to try different things. They'll laugh. They'll communicate, and it can take them to different places. So instead of just slowing down. Sometimes I suggest to people, think back to like one of your best sexual experiences and what was that like? And oftentimes intercourse wasn't even part of it. It was that excitement of the newness and kissing and touching, and sometimes it's helpful to just go back to that place and change things. When you look at things through with different eyes, you get a whole new perspective. And that's what you mentioned, your friend, I think, that had prostate cancer. And sometimes people will think, well, it's the end of it. You know, there's the end of our sex life. And until they learn and talk to people who have been through it and experience and are willing to see what's possible, they don't know. And I think that one of the issues is that there's not enough, well, there isn't enough education and enough information for people. But there are many men with prostate cancer who have had their prostate removed from prostate cancer and have great sex life because they looked at it from a different perspective. They've slowed it down. Their touch is much different. It's much more sensual. They move into their senses. So they are more in tune with their body instead of just focused on their penis, because then, you know, again, the focus just gets very narrow and you're missing out on the journey of the touch and the energetic connection and that soul connection people experience with eye gazing and things like that. It really deepens the love and connection between people.
Exactly. I do agree with that. Now, Maureen, you also have a model out, PICSSL.
Okay. Yes. That was called, it stands for The Path to Intimacy, Connection, Sexual Satisfaction, and Love. And so it's called the Pixel Model. And I developed that a few years ago when I was getting trained as a sex therapist. I needed more tools and strategies and interventions to offer people than I needed. And as a nurse practitioner, I'm used to having a lot of options and choices, you know, that will it be acceptable to different people because everybody's, you know, preferences are different. So I developed this toolbox, and what it is, it has strategies to enhance emotional intimacy, which is very important in order to open up sexually, strategies to help get people back in their body because so many people disconnect from their body. They don't even really feel anymore. They're not in tune with sensations and how their body's responding. So strategies to help people get back and experience feeling and sensation. And then strategies to help increase sexual satisfaction. And I share it now with anybody, but I present it at a lot of conferences for nurse practitioners especially. And it's great because I'll speak for nurse practitioners. You know, they oftentimes have really great relationships with their patients, a lot of trust. And now maybe they might have been avoiding talking about sexuality because they felt that they didn't have enough knowledge. They didn't know what to say. They felt uncomfortable, but now after like getting some tools in their toolbox, now they're opening up the conversations. And sometimes it's just a little information that can help shift something or giving somebody permission, you know, that, yeah, it's important to take time for yourself and to, you know, reconnect with your own, you know, the internal passion that's inside of you. Because people, I think oftentimes they approach this in a way that's really not helpful. In order to really have a good sex life, I think you have to be connected with yourself. You have to, that connection is important.
Right, and it's got to be a love for yourself because you got to look at it. Some people get abused around certain times as a child, and that's a lot to bear. So it's hard for them to bring out that intimacy in them. It's difficult to manage.
Right. And again, just to, you know, to express your needs, what it is that you want, it's hard for people to do that. You know, they're very vulnerable. I see it all the time in my office. You know, people come in and they're focusing on, you know, we're not having sex or it's the same old way. It's, you know, there's nothing interesting. But yet one or both of the partners is reluctant to say what it is that they really need, that they need to be able to trust their partner, that they need to feel seen and valued and heard and have attention and their presence and all of those things. And if they start there, it really helps to build the foundation that's needed. You know, you go trying to, you know, just fix something sexually, a goal, it oftentimes doesn't work unless you really start, you know, at the core. Now, again, sometimes getting the sex life going again is enough to bring the relationship back to a healthy place, because now we've got this oxytocin and we're bonding, and that builds trust and intimacy. So,
yes.
Again, every couple is different. Every person is different and needs to be seen from that individual viewpoint. But back to that model. The model is on my website if anybody wants to get it. And it helps. It gives, and it's not just for nurses. It's for any health helping professional or anybody actually who's interested in what can I do to improve my sex life? What are some ideas? You know, what's possible?
So. Now, Marie, what usually happens in a sex therapy session?
Well, it depends on what people are coming in with. But typically what happens is, you know, they come because there's something that's causing them some suffering or some stress in their relationship or within themselves. And so they come in oftentimes, you know, feeling reluctant, but they quickly settle into it and are almost always very happy that they did come. So what happens in a session is that, I said before, I help people identify what is it that you want? What do you want your sex life to be like? You know, if you could go out, you know, 6 months from now and it was exactly what you wanted, you know, don't hold back. What do you want it to look like? And then, so really identifying that or starting to think, you know, that process of what it is that I want. I really just don't want to have more orgasms with intercourse. No, I want the whole thing. I want to feel that heart connection. I want to feel, you know, excitement and, you know, just expand on the possibilities. And then, again, the motivation. Why? Why is this important to you? Because I love my partner, and I want to feel that heart connection, that emotional closeness, and I want to feel that bonding, commitment, and or I don't want them to leave. I don't want them looking at somebody else, or I want them, you know, to cut the lawn. Whatever. People have sex for a lot of different reasons. So anyway, I kind of lost track there. But anyway, so they find their motivation, and then, you know, what's in the way? And a lot of times, it's not sex. They show up here for a sexual problem. It's not that. It's much, you know, it's much deeper than that. It's, you know, you really get at the core issues, you know, abandonment, feeling, you know, not worthy, not good enough. And once you look at that, those issues, you really create the shift. And people, they come at it from a different place. The whole experience is different, the way they see themselves.
Right.
Becoming aware of unconscious beliefs that are no longer serving them and that are, you know, they took on a long time ago and are still playing the same tape, and they are not children. They're competent, wise adults. So it's awareness, self-awareness, a lot of that occurs in sex therapy.
Ooh, it's a lot to really think about. I tell you, this is really deep. People better, I hope they're getting keen and getting comfortable with this. But we're going to end up taking another commercial break, and when we come back, we'll bring our call on. So, like I said, stay tuned. Don't touch that dial.
There's only one station that will keep you happy. Blog Talk Radio. We're taking more of your calls at 347-426-3751. Stay tuned. We'll be back after this commercial break.
How to be a great dad in 15 seconds. Bike ride, go fish, walk in the park, phone call, milkshake, play catch, picnic, fly a kite, tell jokes, laugh, talk, read a story, tell a story, bumper car, swing set, bowling, pillow fight, cut loose, stay tight. Whew. Because the smallest moments can have the biggest impact on a child's life. Take time to be a dad today. Call 877-4DAD-411 or visit fatherhood.gov. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
Chris, you're not acting like a grown-up in our relationship.
M2!
There's your comic book collection, the race car bed.
I'm young at heart, but I put money into my 401k every paycheck. I'm taking control over my financial life, and that feels pretty grown-up to me.
Put away a few bucks, feel like $1 million. For free ideas and easy ways to save, go to feedthepig.org. That's feedthepig.org.
Are those footy pajamas?
This message brought to you by the American Institute of Certified Public Accountants and the Ad Council.
Welcome back. Now, we have our caller on the line. How are you today, caller?
Oh, fine, and you? It's been a while since I've been on that. I've been busy, so I finally get a chance to come back and see what y'all were saying today.
Okay, well, any questions for Dr. Marie Ryan?
Well, I ain't never been sexual active. Since I've been an adult, I never had sex my whole life, so that's a good thing, though. But what can she say? What can you say about it?
Did you say that you never had sex in your whole life?
Yes, ma'am. Said?
Okay.
Yep.
Well, I guess the question is that okay with you? Are you satisfied that way, or is it something that you're longing for?
Well, it's off and on. Sometimes that I feel better about it. Sometimes I just get to the point that I just get hot naked.
Yeah. Well, you know, there's a lot of questions that you could ask yourself. And you know, what is it that you really want? And if you do want to have sex, if you do want a relationship, well, what would that look like, and how would you develop that? Or I'll tell you that there are some people that they're not interested in sex. It's not something that's really important to them, and they're perfectly happy. And there's some people in, you know, long-term relationships that they don't have sex, but they have so many other areas in their relationship where they have depth of intimacy, you know, maybe affection, or they do things socially together, or they like to do things, or they have a strong intellectual or emotional intimacy, and those things are, you know, that's or spiritual. Those things make the relationship complete to them. So, again, it's really up to the individual of what it is that is important and what they want to create in their life.
Right. Yeah. And so far, I've been doing good with it. Even though I get hot, but you know, a lot of people say they don't see how I do it, but they say I'm doing good. At the age I am, I'm at the age of 34. You know, most people, my kids, he's grown. Some people got grandkids. At my age now, there's some kids, people, children have kids, so they got grandkids.
Yeah. But, you know, sexuality.
I agree with you, Maureen. I mean, I do. Sex is all great and dandy, but sometimes engaging in everything but can be just as exciting, and that's a choice on you, caller, whether you or if you ever get with the woman, want to wait before diving into the juice pool, or you just want to add a little exhilaration to your love life, then that's a decision that you have to make, because it's a big step. When you go there, you got to make sure. I really like to say, and I know it sounds so corny, and I know it sounds like a novel idea, but the idea of just falling in love with the right person, your soulmate, makes it much better to me.
Right. You know, we're complicated. Human beings are complicated. We have, you know, emotions. We have beliefs. We have physical bodies that don't always cooperate in the way we want. We Why? Have spiritual beliefs. So, you know, it's very, there's a lot to it. There's a lot of depth to us as human beings.
It is.
By looking at, you know, when you look at sexuality, some people just need to think about the physical body, but it really, there's so much more to it. And, you know, one of the people that has really helped me and mentored me is Dr. Dina Ogden, and she is a woman who is a sex researcher, a therapist. She's written many books. She's really helped many people with her research. What she did was about 20 years ago. She did a survey, and she surveyed close to 3,800 or more than 3,800 people and asked them what does sex mean to them, basically. And she got a lot of stories back, and what she kept finding or hearing was that sex was much more than just a physical act, that there are, you know, there's emotional components like love and passion and longing and that can really facilitate it. And then there's emotions like anger and fear and, you know, boredom that can shut us down. And then there's our beliefs, you know, the mental component, you know, what are the messages we took on? What are our religious beliefs, our memories, our, you know, fantasies, wishes, intentions, all of those things. And imagination. And imagination is so important because imagination is what fuels desire. That's why people, when they're away from their partner for a while, and then they really, desire becomes very strong because they're thinking about them and using their imagination and anticipating. But anyway, the mental, you know, mentally, you know, sometimes, you know, our beliefs serve us, but other times they don't. You know, we've got a lot of messages that that are very rigid and all of the shoulds. You know, good girls don't. There's no sex after marriage or menopause, things like that. And so there is a lot to it. But when you get it all in alignment, sex can be like one of the most incredibly beautiful, empowering experiences ever. You know, these people have mystical experiences and these energetic sense of union. And, you know, those are all things that can be explored that oftentimes we don't think about because we've never been taught. We don't really tune into our energy and where that can take us and how it can launch us away from mission control into something, the unknown, uncharted territory, which is quite exciting. So.
Well, you learn something. You learn something new.
Yes. But and one of the things that I should mention is that people wonder, like, well, you know, there's something wrong with my relationship because I don't feel desire. I don't feel passion. And what happens in relationships is that in the beginning of relationships, people are just getting to know each other. And so the intimacy is increasing rather quickly. And when the intimacy increases and it's building, that's when the passion is also building. And then you hit a place where the intimacy is, you know everything about them. Maybe you live together, you're married, and everything, things are predictable. And so that intimacy levels out, very high level of intimacy. And when that happens, you see the passion drop off. And so you need to be intentional about bringing it back. And there are ways that you can really enhance your sex life, sexual satisfaction, and bring that passion back. And one of the things is, you know, using the imagination that fuels desire, novelty, doing new things together. And I'm not just talking about sex or sexual positions. That's not what I mean. I mean doing things that you haven't done before, seeing your partner in a new light or with new eyes. That fuels desire. And understanding that passion, it waxes and wanes, but knowing how to get it back. And sometimes what is important is scheduling it, premeditated, intentional sex. If not, it's not going to get on the calendar. And then once, get it going and it's emotionally and physically a good experience, then they want to come back for more. And again, that's the bond that keeps couples together.
It sure does. It sure will keep it together, because you got to experiment. You got to have an imagination. If you depend on that, then all will fall, because as we was explaining earlier, caller, you might end up getting erectile dysfunction or anything. So what's your next step in the plan? This is what I would like to know, though, because a lot of people always mention about masturbation. Does that ruin the sex life for most?
Does it ruin it? Is that what you said?
Yes, ma'am. If you're doing it too much.
Well, it depends. Everybody's different. But if masturbation, that's a tricky one, because there are some people who, because of religious beliefs, that's not an option for them. But other people, masturbation is a great stress reducer. It helps people sleep. It helps them learn about their body. And that's important, because everybody's body is different and responds differently. So through masturbation, or call it self-love or solo sex, whatever you want to call it, you can gain a lot of knowledge. And also, your partner's always not in the mood when you want to. So, you take matters into your own hands. And, again, the hormones released are very beneficial. They're like the anti-stress hormone, oxytocin. It has a lot of health benefits for the body. So I suppose that if somebody's masturbating a lot and they're losing their sex drive, then, that would be interfering with their relationship.
What was that, caller? Did you say?
Yeah, to be honest with you, I've been doing this since I was 11 years old.
Oh, my.
Yeah, I've been trying to say, so far, I've been doing good lately.
Yeah, I think you said that you've been masturbating since you've been 11 years old. Is that what you said?
Yes,
oh.
Ma'am.
Yeah, and that's typical. Boys start around that age. And that brings up another point, that people think, sexual prime for men is in their late teens and for women in their 30s. And if you really look at that, and talking about sexual prime, the whole package, the emotional, mental, that loving connection, physical body's response, that really can be cultivated and get better with age. As a person learns more about themselves, as they work through some of their earlier beliefs or trauma, become more comfortable seeing what it is or showing their partners what they want, sex can just keep getting better. When we say sexual prime, we're really just referring to the physical ability of the body. So like a young man, teens, yeah. He can get an erection faster. He's got a shorter refractory period. Physical body is probably at the prime then, but there's much more to sex than just the way the body responds physically.
Well,
so that was an important point. I'd like to share a tool with you that I share with my clients. Okay, enhance a relationship. So I call it's a pie, just like a piece of pie, And I came up with that just as a nurse, it's what the nursing process is. You assess, plan, implement, and evaluate. So as I'm, teaching nurses, it just helps them remember. But it works out beautifully because it's an acronym, and it's for the qualities of appreciation, presence, intention, and empathy. What you focus on these qualities, your relationship's going to improve. So the appreciation is, first of all, everybody wants to be appreciated. They want to be valued. And when you focus on something that you appreciate about your partner, it grows. Where you put your attention on, what you put your attention on will grow. So let's say you you want to have sex at, you want to have sex, and you're thinking about something just annoyed you that they did. Well, switch it right in that moment to what you appreciate about your partner. You know, that they're kind, or that they help you with things, or that their hard body turns you on, or whatever it is that you. Are turned on physically by them. Whatever, just turn your focus into what you appreciate. And if you share what it is that you appreciate, it's even better because people want to be valued. So that's the A, appreciation. And the P is presence. And this is really important because people want to feel valued. They want to feel important. And when you focus on your partner and give them your 100% of your attention, it's saying, I value you, I see you, I hear you, you are important to me. And another way of thinking of that presence is like really bringing yourself into the present moment. This is another issue that people, why do they have difficulty with sex? It's because of so many distracting thoughts. And so just bringing themselves back into the moment, maybe by connecting with your breath or moving into your senses, what they're feeling, what they're tasting, whatever. And so being present. That means shutting off cell phones and turning off the TVs and being fully present. And the I is for intention. And this right. is, again, it's very important. What is it that I want to create? What is it that I want to experience tonight? Do I want to have, do I want to feel really connected and close and nurtured, or do I want to have more orgasms and just, really get wild? So what is it that you want to experience? Because the intention is like, think of it as like a North Star. It guides you. So what happens is people don't think about what they want, and they wonder, how the heck did I end up here? It's because you didn't pay attention. So intentionality is very important. And then E is empathy. So empathy is the quality of understanding your partner beyond their words. It's understanding what they may be experiencing and being with them in that state. And this is another really important thing, is that men sometimes like to fix things. And so a woman will come in with something that's bothering her, concerning her, and he'll try and fix it. And what oftentimes they need is just that male masculine energy to create a safe space so that she feels safe, that she can talk about what it is that's important, and that he's there and he's present. And, call it holding space. And that is a beautiful gift to give your partner, to really truly be present with them when they're sitting in their, the muck. So a pie. And then again, so when you see a pie, it's like it's a trigger because it makes you think, you're in the grocery store and you see pie there, or you're, at a restaurant. You think, oh, yeah, I should really think about, what I can do to be a better partner. And I can be a better partner if I appreciate you more and I share that, if I'm more present with you, if I use more intention, and if I'm more empathetic. And that's the thing, is people are pointing their fingers all the time at, my partner does this, he does that, she does that. And okay. I say, take a look at yourself. What can you do? What are you in control of? You're not in control of them. You're in control of yourself, your actions, your words.
Oh, yes. Lorraine, I think you hit it right on the nail. You do. You got to figure out where the blame is coming from, and it usually be the person who's doing all the blaming. Yes. Yes, I agree all the way. I confirm that today. Yes.
Yes, and when somebody's pointing their finger at you and blaming, you're not listening anymore. The wall goes right up. You become defensive, so it doesn't serve anybody.
Right. And it doesn't. All this that Dr. Marine is saying is so truthful. I mean, we got to look at the bigger picture, and that's what we're saying today. Just look at the whole outcome of it all. But Paul, I do hope when you do find that special one that it be at the right moment, and that you be in a prosperous relationship.
Oh yeah, thank you for that. Oh yeah, I will. Cause I ain't been going through that situation lately. Being haunted, being in the car, I've been doing good so lately. Cause when I take my phone, I listen to my music at night now to keep my mind focused, keeping my mind off that stuff.
Yeah, and you know what? I hear a lot of people say when they say about orgasms that you know. You can have an orgasm just, and it's not the sexual orgasm. I think it's just the spiritual orgasm that you have with God. That's more refreshing than anything. So
right.
You want, yeah.
Right. Yeah. I mean, you could talk about orgasm for a long time, but it made me think about something that. Just did some research on people with spinal cord injuries and sexuality, and that people with severed spinal cords are reporting that they are experiencing orgasm and feeling sensation. And you know, you think, well, that's impossible. The spinal cord is severed, but no, they're having these experiences. And what they're finding in research is because it's the nerve impulses are being transmitted through the vagus nerve. And this is one of the points of what I try to. Accomplish in my practice is I try to get knowledge to people, accurate knowledge, and to connect people. So I'm going to be starting group coaching with different groups of people. You know, one with spinal cord injuries and how does it affect their sexuality and how can they move in the direction that they want emotionally, mentally to and learn from people who have experienced it. Because we don't have a lot of research on that. And then groups for maybe women with low libido or performance anxiety issues for men. So there's help out there available.
It is. And I'm so glad that you will be doing it, Maureen, because we have a lot of people who go through those type of issues. And it's hard for them to really confront anybody while probably being joked at.
Right. And that's one of the things that's great about, like, coaching on the phone is because it's private. Nobody has to know who you are. You can be anywhere in the country. And you find support from like-minded people. You get answers. You get ideas. You think about what's possible. Things that you wouldn't have thought about that can improve your life. So it's very powerful. It's very healing.
Oh, yes. Then for us women, we have so much when it comes besides just even having sex. We have the worry about we have our female odors or even thinking about maybe passing gas, you know, things like that just kind of worries you a little bit.
Yeah, body image issues. Yeah, it definitely can create barriers. So, you know, again, what helps is, it's a humor, being curious, being playful, you know, instead of taking everything so seriously.
Right.
And
I do agree with you, too, on that one, because it do supposed to be fun. But yet at the same time, you have this anxiety, like you were just mentioning, about maybe not pleasing him or her, and you have to get over that. You do.
Right. It's, you know, when you're in somebody else's head, you know, wondering what they're thinking, or they're experiencing, you're not experiencing it in your own body where you experience pleasure. There's an awful lot to it. It's wonderful. Interesting.
As previously said in the show, you have to have communication. Talk to your woman, talk to your man, find out what's working and what's not working so you can feel more reassured and confident about sex. Because it's not going to work if you don't know what's going on in each other's mind. And men are not as complicated as we are, as we make them to be. We could be some of the most complicated species ever because when we have so much going on, being a mom, working, and like you said, our parents comes all into effect. So we have a lot going on.
Yeah, and you put so much energy into those roles of being a wife or a mom or, you know, a career person. And then you wake up one day and you're like, well, whatever happened to that playful, sexy, sensual me? You know, where is she? How do I revive her? You know? So it's all part of the process.
Well, Carla, do you have any more questions for Dr. Ryan?
Yeah, all the guys talking about female odor and stuff like that.
I didn't hear that.
I
often hear guys talk about female odor, how she smells and stuff, and that also gets me nervous too.
Okay, gets you nervous.
Well, I think you might want to clarify that. How does it make you nervous? Are you afraid to actually? Are you afraid to smell a woman?
Not really, but it just, I don't think that's all. Someone said it smells good. Someone said this and that and other. I really want to experience it, but, you know, it just, I don't know. I don't know. I'm going to be honest with you, I don't know.
It's good that you did probably bring it up because, well, most women, we do. Even if you're healthy, you're going to have a scent. But sometimes, in my experience, you do get a stronger presence of odor, and sometimes it could be other things like yeast infection. But usually if you're clean, there's nothing to worry about because we all got a natural scent. And one thing about it, most women, as I was told, Maureen, you're not even really supposed to, women are not supposed to dish anyway. Your body has a natural cleanse to itself.
Oh,
right. They say think of the vagina as a self-cleaning oven. You don't need to put anything in there to clean it because what it does is it just it messes up the normal flora, which keeps the vagina healthy and not in a certain pH. But, you know, the point is that he brought up is that don't forget about personal hygiene. You know, you wonder why your partner is not getting turned on. Well, take a shower, brush your teeth, wash your hair, you know, clean up.
Maureen, I agree with you so much. You got to keep your appearance up. Don't expect somebody to be around you, and you know you haven't bathed. And I have had experiences with females around me, and I've been like, and you want somebody to be bothered with you, and your breath smelling foul, you smell foul. That's not going to work.
I have
that preview on my show so many times. Please go for man too, man, women. Please keep up your hygiene, please. But since we're running short on time, Maureen, can you give your website out again and how people can get in contact with you?
It's www.mcchah.com. So it's M as in Mary, B as in boy, C as in Charles, A as in apple, H as in Henry.com. So mind-body connection for adult health. And my phone number is 716-704-5683 if somebody wants to contact.
Well, thank you, Maureen, for being on this show, helping us to get over our sexual hang-ups and over the anxiety. Mm-hmm. So anybody who's out there who feels still uncomfortable, do get in touch with Dr. Maureen Ryan. She's for you. She can give you all the benefits to having the best healthy sex relationship ever to overcome all that fear. And even for you, Carla, if you have any more questions for her, do so. But coming up next is Sean Germain. He's an independent artist, so I want you to stay tuned. And I do thank you for staying on with us. Thank you again, Dr. McCain. Happy Mother's Day to you.
Thank you.
Thank you, y'all.
Lisa, are you there?
Yes, ma'am, I'm still here.
Okay. So, thank you. for having me on. Is this recorded? Is it going to play later, or is it played live?
It sure will. Everything will.
Okay, so just type the job website address here. That's it. Then you enter what job you're looking for there.
Electrician.
This is Peter. Recently, he got help going on the internet for the first time to look for a new job.
Okay, then you just hit search and...
In the past, Peter's gotten work through people he knew, but he heard there were more jobs online.
There we go.
These are all for me?
Uh-huh.
Really?
He had no idea just how many.
I can't believe it. This one looks good.
Peter is thinking the internet might be for him after all.
And this is just one website.
Wow. Why didn't I do this sooner?
See what the internet can help you do at everyoneon.org or call 1-855-387-9166 to find a free training class near you. Brought to you by Connect, Compete, and the Ad Council.
All right. Well, we're still on the air, and we're waiting on our other caller to call in, Sean Germain. He's an independent artist, so stay tuned. I hope you don't drop the call. I'm really enjoying this with you. I thank you for liking my Facebook fan page. Check out my mobile app. It's on iTunes now, The Bright Side with Technisha. And also on my Facebook fan page, I have a Speak app. So if you're not able to call in or want to chat, you can be able to leave me a message now. So I'm trying to make it easy and compatible for my listeners out here. And, of course, I shall be having my welcome email news. Well, I shall be having my newsletter email coming out very soon to you again this week, letting you know my upcoming guests. So I hope all that will work out. And don't be afraid to leave me comments. I know I always say that, but I'm really genuine about that. I do want you to leave me comments. I think it's the best thing ever. So don't be afraid to call in, say what's on your mind. That's how we got to do this together. It's not just about me. It's about you, too, because we have to do this as a team, basically. That's all I'm just saying. So please stay tuned, and we'll be right back after this.
Take a look under your bed. Find stuff under there? What about jobs? No? Now try your basement. There's a pair of overalls that, overall, you're not so into anymore. A perfectly good laptop that hasn't seen your lap in months. And even more stuff, but still no jobs? Well, you really have both. See, stuff is defined as household articles considered as a group. Sometimes this stuff is no longer needed. Wait, no longer needed? That can't be right. Because remember those jobs you were looking for? Those are really needed. And they're the stuff inside your stuff. Even inside that winter coat that moved with you to Phoenix. Our job is to unlock those jobs. And it starts when you donate your stuff to your local Goodwill. Here's how we do it. When you donate to Goodwill, we sell your stuff to provide job training for people right here in your community. So just by teaming up with Goodwill, you help create jobs. And isn't that worth parting with the leftover keytar from your 80s cover band? Goodwill. Donate stuff. Create jobs. Find your nearest donation center at goodwill.org. A message from Goodwill and the Ad Council.
Hi, it's Flint Lockwood here in Swallow Falls. My friends and I have just discovered some amazing living foodimals, but we've also discovered an urgent matter that needs our help. According to my calculations, 1 in 5 kids in America struggles with hunger. Our latest mission is to help solve hunger by teaming up with the Feeding America Network to get food to kids facing hunger in communities across the country.
Help Flint and the Feeding America Network of food banks get food to the people who need it in your community. Find your local Feeding America food bank at feedingamerica.org/hunger.
Together, we're Feeding America.
A message from Feeding America and the Ad Council.
Thank you. I'ma be real and say what's on my heart. Let's take this chance and make this love feel relevant. Didn't you know I loved you from the start, yeah?
Think about
all the years we put in this relationship. Knew we'd make it this far. Then I think about where would I be if we were to just fall apart. And I can't stand the thought of losing
Maybe
you.
I'm the realest. Drop this and let the whole world feel it.
Let them feel it.
And I'm still in the murder business. I can hold you down like I'm giving lessons in physics.
Right, right.
If you want a bad bitch like this,
huh?
Drop it low and pick it up just like this.
Yeah.
Cup of Ace, cup of Goose, cup of Chris. I heal something worth a half a ticket on my wrist.
On my wrist.
Taking all the liquor straight. Never chase that.
Never.
Stop like we bring an 88 back.
What?
Bring the hooks in where the bass at. Champagne feeling, you should taste that.
Did it.
with that paper overall. I thought you knew that I'd be the IGGY, put my name in ball. I've been working, I'm up in here with some change to throw.
I'm so fancy, you already know I'm in the fast lane, from LA to Tokyo.
How you love that? Got the whole world asking how I does that. Hot girl, hands off, don't touch that. Look at it, I bet you wishing you could clutch that. That's just the way you like it, huh? It's so good, he just wishing he could bite it, huh? Never turn down nothing, flame me, so go trigger on a gun like
tuning in to the Bright Side with Technician. Thank you for staying tuned in with me. It was posted up online on Yahoo, a student ad campaign supporting pro-public breastfeeding legislation in Texas, causing a stir online this week with its provocative images of women nursing their babies in public toilet stalls. Private dining, would you eat here, asks the text of one of posters, which features a photo of a young mother breastfeeding her infant while perched on the lid of a public toilet. Two other images in a series of different mom-baby pairs ask, Bon Appetit, would you eat here? And Table for Two, would you eat here? The campaign called When Nurture Calls is the work of University of North Texas graphic art majors Jonathan Winsky and Chris Harrow, both the juniors. They decided to take on the polarizing issues of public breastfeeding for an assignment that actually requires students to design a campaign for a social issue or product as if it were being created for actual paying clients. And the first image posted on Facebook by blogger Mama Bean on May 3rd has more than 12,800 likes and over 8,000 shares, generating a lengthy stream of comments ranging from supportive to insulting, including a woman calling public nursing trashy and a man objecting to women bearing their sex objects. The negativity led one of the moms in the ads to take to Facebook to defend herself. So the question here today, would you want to eat in the same restaurant as a breastfeeding mom? Would you do it? Yes or no? You can call in now at 347-426-3751. Lord have mercy, I'm about to say young. That's 347-426-3751. So call in, give us your comments. Are you encouraging young mothers to breastfeed in public and not to be ashamed to do it, any of it, or are you against all of it? So do call in. Your comments mean so much to me. And you, if not, you can hit me up on my Facebook fan page, The Bright Side with Technisha, or hit me at Twitter, TDay60. So let me know what you really think about this. Is it okay? I mean, I would not know. I never breastfed my children in public, but obviously it is an issue for some. So stay relaxed, chill, and you'll get more from me on The Bright Side with Technisha on Blog Talk Radio.
I've never seen a diamond in the flesh. I cut my teeth on wedding rings in the movies, and I'm not proud of my address. In a torn up town, no postcode envy, but every song's like gold teeth, gray goose, dripping in the bathroom, bloodstained ball gowns, trash in the hotel room, we don't care. We're driving Cadillacs in our dreams, but everybody's like crystal, Maybach, diamonds on your timepiece, jet planes, islands, tigers on a gold leash, we don't care.
new love affair. And we'll never be royal. It's the one in our blood. That kind of love just ain't for us. We crave a different kind of buzz. Let me be your ruler. Friends and I would crack the code. We count our dollars on the train to the party, and everyone who knows us knows that we're fine with this. We didn't come for money, but every song's like gold teeth, Grey Goose dripping in the bathroom, bloodstained ball gowns, trash in the hotel room. We don't care. Driving Cadillacs in our dreams, but everybody's like crystal, Maybach, diamonds on your timepiece, jet planes, islands, tigers on a gold leash. We don't care. We aren't caught up in your love affair, and we'll never be royal. It's the one in our blood. That kind of love just ain't for us. We crave a different kind of buzz. Let me be your ruler.
Where do you want to go to lunch?
I'm having a stroke.
Did you hear what I said?
I'm having a stroke.
Why aren't you answering me?
I'm having a stroke.
What's up with your face?
I'm having a stroke.
That's not normal. Is something wrong?
I'm having a stroke.
Are you having an allergic reaction?
I'm having a stroke.
When someone is having a stroke, they may not be able to say it with words, but their body language will tell you loud and clear.
I'm having a stroke.
You just need to know the sudden signs. Look for FAST, F-A-S-T, F, face drooping, A, arm weakness, or S, speech difficulty, then T, time. Time to call 911 immediately, because the sooner they get to the hospital, the sooner they'll get treatment. And that can make a remarkable difference in their recovery. Know the sudden signs. Face, arm, speech, time. Spot a stroke fast. Visit strokeassociation.org. Brought to you by the American Stroke Association and the Ad Council.
I'm talking about putting on riding out. My mind's house crunching with that work. I didn't find it work. He stayed with that head up, but we don't fight fair, bruh. Catch you slipping from your backside, then knock you out. Ace gon' stump you out, then Buddha gon' stump you out. Mama ever seen with a busted eye and busted mouth? Nah, Millie poking out, four busy poking out. Death row day, show you what this West Coast about.
I die for my... Jumping from the bullet for my mother. On the stand, I lie for my mother. Rob a bank, I drive for my ride for my mother. Real talk, I don't really put too many new. Drop a dime on you like a couple nickels. I be laughing to the bank like the money tickle. Dropping something that you ain't. Top off, suck a nipple. And I never put a before my bro. Don't be for no. Am I sell them keys if you can't open your door. Hope you buy from my vibe from my. When it rains, it pours, it's dry for me and my yeah. I kill for my vice versa. Eyes red from the kush, eye blue. White person got my middle finger on the trigger and with my little finger to you. That's where it's all y'all. Except my
I said it, I'ma ride for my. Most likely I'ma die for my. I've been grinding that side all day with my. And they ain't going in, it's a with my hitters. My hitter, my hitter. My hitters. Oh, I just spent $1 million.
Hey. You catch me out Chicago with Chicago with the hitters. Call around on number 9, Lil Durk to bring the trigger. And when we on the lane, we ain't f***ing with the liquor. I'ma buy 100 bottles just to give it to them. She keep liking all my bitches cause she see the way I ball. How my wrist in every little, catch you at the red light. Have them screaming, can't get up, say name. From the bottom, man, the dance ain't changed. Catch me out kinda screaming money. Cause I've been in the field, life on the line with them. And if it's really real, I'd probably die with them. Cause when I need them choppers, I just tell God, hit them, what?
I say that I'ma ride for my. Most likely I'ma die for my. I've been grinding outside all day with my. Then I ain't going in, that's a with my hitters. My hitter, my hitter.
My hitter,
my hitter.
$250,000 for a verse. I don't know, is it me or is your thirst? You ain't got no joint. Like the injured Chris Paul, you ain't got no point. I just come through with a couple bosses. They get money too, they some don't cross me. Flossy, this your Sergio Rossi. And if we at the game, then it's Flossy, bitch. I ride for my boss, for my. I'm so rich, I cop rides for my. Tell them menu fries, apple pies, other. I drop a freestyle and get a rise out of my. I need it with some different strokes, tied bridges. Shout out to my main and my side. Need this nigga with some good neck, eye stretches. My
I
name.
Say that I'ma ride for my. Most likely I'ma die for
my.
I've been grinding outside all day,
my.
And I ain't going in, unless I'm with my hitters. My hitter,
my
hitter.
You better get your mother out of the mitt.
Mother, that don't have any.
Hey, Billy, want to go to the state fair?
Yeah!
Well, you can't. Now, you see, Billy, when you throw away money on wasted electricity, you throw away everything you could have done with it. But now your parents are becoming energy efficient. They could save hundreds of dollars a year and take you to the fair next year.
I want to go now.
Oh, I know you do. Saving energy saves you money. Learn more at energysavers.gov. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Energy and the Ad Council.
In the wake of a disaster, what one thing can you send that will help people the most? A blanket, a tent, a sandbag, a doctor. Actually, if you send a monetary donation, you send all these things. Even a small donation can make a big impact and can quickly become exactly what people affected by disaster need most.
Want to help those affected by Typhoon Haiyan in the Philippines? To donate, visit philippinesrelief.adcouncil.org. That's philippinesrelief.adcouncil.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
Oh, well, we're getting short on our time. I got 7 more minutes with you on the clock. So if you got any comments about the best feeding campaign, please call in at 347-426-3251. It's kind of a little bit too much for a woman to be really exposing herself like that in front of other people. I mean, I never did that, like I said before. And, you know, so I feel like, yeah, they're young, and younger mothers are less likely to breastfeed, so hopefully... I mean, this will encourage young mothers to breastfeed, like I said, not be ashamed to do and what. You know, that's all that, and I want to take your, like, you and mother, just beautiful creation. But, you know, public breastfeeding laws here is just the most safe bill with the support of Hanford, including Connecticut, Vermont, and New York. There are just no official provisions. I mean, there is. Various authorities are not accountable for their actions against breastfeeding moms. This actually involves ex-nursing moms to cover up their children's rooms, not both altogether, or leave the premises, as has been recently reported. Cases as a Chick-fil-A restaurant in Tennessee and American Airlines flight in a Connecticut courtroom. So those are some things that people are wondering about. So if you're on Twitter right now, please do hit me up at TJ60. Hit me up on my Facebook fan page,
the wife I would say, yeah, I'm listening. I got a little time left with you. But please, do your part, I'll be fine.
This is the sound of a flat-screen television hurled off a building. Now the new bike your kid wants. These are the things you could have all cast into oblivion. Because when you throw away money on wasted electricity, you throw away everything you could have bought with it. Use Energy Star light bulbs and appliances, and you could save hundreds of dollars a year. Saving energy saves you money. Learn more at EnergySavers.gov. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Energy and the Ad Council.
Right, my time is almost over. But as a matter of fact, my friends on Twitter named Kingpin Mac at PMW since 1988 said, hell yeah, That's the natural act of motherhood. So go ahead. Make sure to follow him on Twitter. That's at PMWSets1988. And also, if you got time, Kids Carnival Radio Show every Saturday from 12 noon to 2. That's Easter, hosted by Winter Log. That's her last. Hosted by Winter. So you'll log on to www.givemeyourmusic.com and support the movement. Winter is the radio personality every Saturday for Kids Carnival Radio Show, 12 p.m. to 2 Eastern, only on New Radio, my favorite new W radio station. Hot topics, fun, gospel, laughter. Log on to watch live at www.givemeyourmusic.com. Hashtag support the movement. So it's been fun. I'll see you tomorrow. And as I always say, you know it, God bless.
Thank you for tuning in to The Bright Side with Tanisha.
Come back daily from 12 p.m. to 1 p.m. Eastern.
God bless.